Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to bless us mightily today with wisdom and understanding concerning the things to come and also revelation of what we need to pray for in these coming days. There are people that are in danger right now, and we need to pray for them. Keep that in mind as we study this, okay? And we're going to call it Weapons of Mass Destruction Being Used. Thank you, Father, for giving us wisdom here. I believe the deep state and the president are using the DEW weapons, that's directed energy weapons, now. At one time, the deep state destroyed paradise, you remember, with DEW weapons. And of course, started a bunch of fires. And then it was said that the Trump administration took control of the satellite DEW weapons. Don't know if they got all of the others, because they obviously, very obviously, had them on helicopters and planes. Okay, so I thought maybe the deep state hacked back into some back door to reuse those weapons, or we never gained full control over all of them, okay? On 9-10, excuse me, that was 10-10, yeah, Dutch Sense showed a video of directed energy weapon beams focused on Tyndale Air Force Base. And later, he focused in on the exact point, which was the radar station. So it was obvious that somebody was trying to take out, or did take out, the radar station there. And then, Before Its News came out with an article on it, too. It's a Dutch Sense article on Before Its News. I'll put the link here for you to look at. It kind of covers what he was pointing out, and also Dutch Sense showed the DEW beams coming down from space, hitting and causing hot spots of 1100 to 1350 degrees in three areas, and all of these areas were on major fault lines on the West Coast, the New Madrid, and the East Coast, that we have been warned would bring major earthquakes and the coming of the Lord in his reformer ministry, the man-child. It appears that the deep state is trying to start earthquakes with DEW weapons on major fault lines that we were told years ago would tear the country apart. And I've got a link here to that video. I sent an email warning to the president on 10, 9, and 20 about the DEW hits on the fault lines and on Tyndale Air Force Base. But I've been giving the president the benefit of the doubt in my emails to him below. Jeff sent in the video from Dutch Sense that showed DEW beams from space, and I wrote an email to him, and I said this: they are trying to set off the three areas that Sandy and others had dreams about, including the New Madrid, the West Coast, the New York-Alabama fault line. It's the mad scientist dream. So I'm going to give you just a piece of that mad scientist dream here. Sandy's dream was on 10-18-11. I'm sitting and listening to a group of scientists argue, and they're talking over my head with their scientific words. Half of the scientists are arguing we should not do that because we don't know what the ramifications of that are, nor do we know what chain reactions will take place. In the dream, I didn't know what that was referring to. The other half of the scientists begin arguing that they do know the outcome of that, as they have calculations and results from the previous times that they have done it. And, of course, we'll find out what things that they have done and what things they have caused here in just a moment. One man from the group speaking against it interjected loudly with, "Not of this magnitude." Now, we know magnitude speaks of earthquakes. Will they set the earthquakes off with DEW and their underground tunneling and explosions, causing the chain reaction spoken of here? Because it seems like it crosses the country. It does cross the country in all the dreams that we've received. If within a few days to a week after the hot spots were formed, we get earthquakes, as the pattern shows, we could be seeing the man-child show in the midst of the New Madrid quakes. I believe they're taking advantage of the stresses in the plates caused by Planet X, which is expected in the spring to early summer, which puts it pretty close now. You know, the smaller earthquakes could be a sign of the bigger ones coming later. They are at least a sign of movement in those areas. When they were using their DEW weapons over in the West, obviously within a few days, they had earthquakes there. So remember, the San Andreas and the Cascadia are stressed, and those are going to be major to the whole West Coast. Before I watched this video, I was thinking and studying the David Man-Child Ministries hitting the Edomites, because that's what happened in history, and we know that the things that have been are the things that shall be. And the fact that we are seeing the factions in church and state become very active made me think the man-child couldn't be very far off. Dreams and scriptures show that the Lord in these ministries is going to make a mess of both of the factions in church and state. Here's a warning message from Steve Quayle that was sent to him. It says, "Hello, Steve. This report is about the dangerous things happening along the New Madrid fault line and extending to the edges of the North American plate." Well, it seems like the cold craton is moving. This is my thought now. Don't add this to Steve. This is my thought now, that the whole craton is moving and there are earthquakes around it. And obviously some people are doing their best to stir this up. He goes on to say, "There are totally visible hot spots along the fault, just as I watched in the video, even going to the Bayou and Gulf Coast. Some hot spots are 1,100 degrees, and some have even been measured by locals as high as 1,350 degrees at ground level." That's extremely hot. That's what DEW weapons do. They can destroy very specific items and leave trees all around not touched, you know, or they can drag it along the ground and make a lot of disaster, right? "There are now planes constantly flying over this area because the results of the North American plate bending and cracking into two pieces is a huge event." Well, yes, we know, and we've been, so many people have seen this in the past, right? And we have many of these on our site. "What the planes have discovered so far is that there are subsurface cracks which go as deep as 600 kilometers down." "The cracking and bending has already tripled the subduction zone stress in Cascadia." Well, that's extremely dangerous to a whole coastline of people. 3 times from 2 weeks ago. The stress on the East Coast is also increased at least 3 times in the subduction zone. What could be causing this? Well, I believe we have seen what is causing this. Not only the stresses on the plates because of Planet X, but also them taking advantage of these stresses with the DEW weapons. And there's another weapon we've heard of, Eve had a dream about, which is yet very unspecified but extremely powerful, and it is in space. So I don't know much about that one. We'll see. He went on to say, the energy required to cause this type of event is beyond the ability of humans to do. Well, yeah, but as we have seen, men do have this power coupled with the stresses of Planet X. And this means directly that God is speaking to people trying to get their attention and confess sins and pray for the nation. Amen. This is true. He went on to say, the vast energy released has also ruined much of this year's harvest, so do not expect a huge Thanksgiving feast. Well, you know, I noticed for some strange reason, you know, across the country, silos were being burnt up, you know, so on and so forth. Storage places, you know, for grain being burned up. And I'm guessing that was probably DEW weapons. Nobody saw anybody, you know. He goes on to say, just be thankful for having food to eat, knowing that at least 50% of other Americans do not have enough to eat to stay above the starvation level. When events do occur in earnest, expect earthquakes 7.9 to 10.2. We've already heard this in the past concerning the earthquakes across the country. To hit the West Coast, the Midwest, and the East Coast. There you go. I don't know what they don't have any connection with us, so they may not know the dreams that we've had about this, but that's exactly what we've had. Additionally, we can expect large volcanic action hitting both West and East Coasts. Okay. There it is. God bless and protect all of you in these days, Doc. So evidently Doc sent this in, and so I believe both sides have the DEW weapons, and so I speculate here as to the purposes. Eve had a dream that President Trump signed off on a hit on Tyndale Air Force Base at Mexico Beach with unknown space weapons. She had a description of them, but it's not very easy to understand, but it's something that is beyond what we've known about, let me say. And this was back when Hurricane Michael came into Florida. Now, I'm not saying President Trump brought in Hurricane Michael. It could have been the deep state that brought Hurricane Michael in there. But he apparently used that. So I thought that he may have been using the hurricane from the deep state as cover to destroy many planes there in a huge building that were probably under deep state control. They had pictures on the news of these planes, you know, pieces of them appearing, you know, and holes in the buildings and so on and so forth, you know, the buildings wrecked. So possibly it is President Trump doing it now too, taking advantage of the left's fires in the West to his advantage. And I sent an email to Eve, you know, because she brought this back up when this same thing was happening at Tyndall Air Force Base. You know, again, they were being fired upon. I'll tell you about in particular where they were fired upon in a minute. But so I wrote to Eve. You know, she suspected something bad here, and I did too. But I told her, I'm not questioning you or your dream. That's the previous dream that she had back in during Hurricane Michael. Trump is all that is written of him in the Word as Cyrus, which is in many places in the Bible where he is not mentioned by name, because Cyrus is mentioned often, even though his name isn't necessarily in every place. But it's the same one. And he is seen in a good light in all of that. Not that he is a good saved person. It doesn't mean that. It means that God is using him for a good thing. Okay. And the history of Trump's background is he was raised as a Christian. I knew the preacher to his family when he was young, Norman Vincent Peale. I knew of him, Norman Vincent Peale. I'd read some of his writings. They were on the kind of the positive thinking type thing, you know, kind of like our faith is, positive thinking on God. So this is not to say that he has been born again and has been very patriotic and conservative to the bone, I think. And he was recognized by Reagan, who knew him and talked to him, to be a man who would make a great president. That's what he said. Now, my question is, why is it possible that he is doing this? Is he taking out deep state things like those planes that he took out last time? Is there a good purpose in God's plan that he could only use a warrior to do? I say that because Christians don't have any business doing such things as presidents end up having to do, okay? We're not to physically kill anybody. And, of course, Christians can be used to speak the word that brings these judgments to pass because God is the judge, right? So one of my first questions when I saw the hot spots, but I'm talking to Eve, this email to Eve now, when I saw the hot spots being formed by DEW Beams in Dutch Sense's video was, is Trump in control of the DEW? And he knows that the big quakes are coming because of Planet X approaching. And he is stress relieving the seismic zones so that the quakes won't be as bad. And this is the thought processes you go to when you're trying to figure out what's going on here, you know. But we did have an instance here, not far from us. Charlie and Linda witnessed that in the valley beside them, which is that same New York, Alabama fault line, when they dropped something like bunker buster bombs down the fault line and then came back in a helicopter to see if there was any slippage. That's what we suspected they were doing because they were inspecting it very well, probably using satellite to focus and see if there was a change. So it looked very much to us like what they were doing was seeking to stress relieve the fault line at that time. That was a few years ago. Well, small quakes do relieve stresses so that big quakes are delayed or lessened or prevented. And also, DEW can steer hurricanes. And Dutch Sense pointed that out, that and another man, not just Dutch, but another man, pointed out they were apparently steering this hurricane to come in at the exact same point as the previous hurricane. And, of course, one of those beams hit a radar station over there. So at that, when I wrote this, I said, well, let's see if it gets better or worse, speaking about the hurricane. Well, within hours after the DEW, the hurricane dropped down to a tropical storm. And also the radar station was hit then, as was reported. So as Dutch reported, I believe. Well, anyway, out west, where it appears that the left wing is shooting themselves in the foot with their fires, they're burning down their territories. That's because every time they try to enter into a conservative territory, they're stopped and sent back where they came from. And so, obviously, DEW weapons wouldn't mind crossing those lines, and they could very well in the future. And so one of my thoughts was, is Trump helping them and shooting at them with DEW? The fires are somewhat hiding the beams. So is he taking advantage of this situation and using it for this advantage? I don't know. Again, this is speculation, but I'm going through these processes in my mind, and I don't want to leave anything out. I'm waiting for the Lord to exactly put the whole puzzle together, right? And maybe some of you have something about that. If so, well, send it to us. Thank you. Well, now let me just say that time will tell concerning speculations that I just made. I believe both sides have these weapons and more exotic ones, as Eve saw. And God will make use of them to bring a chastening to America and the church. But revival will come afterwards. And as we have seen in the type of Jesus's ministry, Jesus in the man-child will bring the revival. Yes, he did. And the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. I believe the deep state is using threats from earthquakes and a new plague that's become known to cause the president to stop his rounding up of these criminals for prosecution, and in some cases execution, and bringing in the new economy, which effectively cuts out the deep state. So I believe that these are happening at this particular moment as threats. Could they become more than a threat? Yes, of course. As you know, the scientists in Sandy's dream obviously did not know the effects of what this would bring, the repercussions that this would bring. And it's kind of stupid to experiment with so many people's lives, you know, unless you're totally wicked. And we know some people like that. They're totally wicked. They don't care about killing people. And, you know, it's just not a problem for them. So, anyway, here's another revelation about the new plague, which is going to be defeated in behalf of the saints. It's still going to do damage to others. And this was given to Claire Pinar in 10:6:20. Okay. I dreamed I was in a rondawale type setting, an African round clay house with a thatched grass roof, a round dwelling with open windows, no glass. It was large, and there were many rooms that went off into various directions within the house. There was lush green vegetation all around, and the smell of meat being barbecued, in other words. The saints, I believe here, meaning the sanctified ones, who keep covenant by sacrifice of their flesh, that are an aroma to God. You know, it smells good to God, according to his word. It was nighttime, and there were many saints in there. Joe Britz was one of them. It looked like an old restaurant I used to work at as a hostess when I was a student, called Tribes. All the nations, in other words, in parenthesis, she has all the nations, Gentiles, who are called, are together by faith and belong together. Romans 1:5-6. through whom we received grace and apostleship unto obedience of faith among all the nations, for his name's sake, among whom are you also called to be Jesus Christ. Okay, that was the note. And then she said, I went over to the front door and saw a really tiny little snake slither in. It looked more like a tapeworm. It was so small, but I overreacted. Well, I believe that this represents the overreaction to what COVID-19 has become. As all man-made diseases, it deteriorated. And in this case, from the L strain to the S strain shortly after its creation in Wuhan, until it is much like the flu now. It's the little snake, okay? Pretty soon, people's attention is going to be taken off of that, and it will no longer be a big thing, okay? Because, she went on to say this, I screamed and said, get that snake out of here. Of course, that's what everybody's been screaming, right? Since this plague has no rights in the sanctified house of God, according to Psalm 91, right? We have all rights over that snake. And it is fizzling as it goes. She went on to say, this is not out of fear, just out of indignation that it would even try to come into our space, which is what? Where all the saints are. Yeah, saints is not Christians. Saints is more specific. It's sanctified ones. Right. Just then a huge snake appeared and slithered behind the little snake. It looked like a Mozambique python. It swallowed up the little wormy snake. Well, this bigger plague is the one that we've been warned of. And I've warned the president and our broadcast community. And I don't believe anybody will worry about COVID-19 when this plague comes. It's going to swallow it up and you won't know anything more about COVID-19. Okay, this one is going to have all the focus of the people. Now, we've had quite a few revelations about it now. And I told the president it was coming. I know he's being very careful because they don't want to overstep and cause the deep state to do something to kill a whole lot of people like they did on 9-1-1. You understand? And it turned and looked at me and opened his mouth wide and bared his fangs and said, you're next. Well, I was pretty scared then. I turned to see who would help me, and I saw an old friend from primary school. His name is Duran, which means firm and enduring. So this speaks of a kind of Christian who will be a help to those who are threatened by this plague, right? He represents firm faith. This is my note. Firm faith in the promises. In this case, for health that endures to see it fulfilled, right? Matthew 24 and 13. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, he's talking about, of course, enduring to the end in faith. The double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. Think not that man's going to receive anything from the Lord. That's what he said, right? James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he hath been approved, see, the testing comes to see if you're going to be approved, because you're going to believe the promises of God. And if you've never heard the promises of God used in a way that destroys the curse, you need to go back and read the New Testament for yourself and many places in the Old Testament for yourself. And we have a better covenant based on better promises. We've been promised health, by whose stripes you were healed. Well, they say that that's just spiritual healing, but it doesn't say that. They're adding to the Word of God. And of course, if you add to the Word of God, God says He will add the plagues that are written on this book to you, right? The last four verses of the book, right? So that's what they do. And they cause themselves and all the people that follow them to be victims. The blood is upon their hands. So when he hath been approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to them that love him. And if we love him, we what? Keep his commandments. We don't belittle his commandments. We don't say they passed away with the apostles. We don't do such stupid things as that to cause the death of people. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes ye were healed. Notice he mentions the fact that the Lord has taken away our sins. And he also bore our curse, the Bible says. He became a curse for us so we could have Abraham's blessings. So he bare our sins, and of course we're justified by faith in the fact that he bare our sins on the cross. And now we are free. And of course, if you are accounted righteous, because it goes on to say, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Do you believe the Bible? There was a reason Jesus went about healing all who was oppressed of the devil. There was a reason his disciples all went out and did the same thing. And there was a reason their disciples all went out and did the same thing. There was a reason. There was a fact that happened. Jesus became accursed for you. He bore your curse. Now, these people made a lie out of the Word of God and added to the Word of God so that they could believe what they wanted to believe. Well, it will cause a curse to come on them. The plagues of the book. That's what it says. Okay? So, if you're in one of those places, why? Why? Exodus 12 and 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, okay, how's the blood applied, by the way, in 1 John 1, 7 through 9? If we confess our sins, which it sounds like repentance, right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Yep, Egypt represents this world. And as you know, throughout the book of Revelation, there's a running tally upon all of the judgments that God brings upon the earth. And Moses in Egypt was a type of the same thing, the man-child and the judgments that were released by the man-child in Egypt. And of course, America is a part of the worldwide Egypt, and God's people are coming out. God's people are being chased to the Red Sea by wicked enemies. But you know, as this administration has been saying lately, the hunters are now the hunted. Yeah. Pharaoh was the hunter until he became the hunted. And the man-child Moses was on this bank and then on the other bank. On this bank to part it, to set the trap, and on the other bank to close it, to close the trap. They became the hunted. Amen. And we, of course, got Psalm 91 and 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. That's the word of the Lord. Now, if you belittle the word of the Lord, you do it to your own expense and the expense of every other person that listens to you, even your family. Zechariah 14 and 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem, which is what? The bride, according to what was told to John in Revelation. So, there are people warring against the bride right now. Wicked, evil people. And he's saying the plague is going to strike them. Now, we individually have received individual dreams about certain people that are in this group of people that are dying of the plague. They think they escaped COVID-19, but that's not the end of the plague. That little snake is getting swallowed up by the bigger snake, right? And it goes on to say, their flesh can consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Now, there's been lots of predictions about what this actually was talking about, but we know there are some diseases that do this. Okay. And then she said, he walked over to the snake and distracted it by throwing something outside the house. My thought was, the cleansing of the church makes it powerful and gives it our rights of immunity. Proverbs 10 and 2 says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. And he says that more times in Proverbs. Righteousness delivereth from death. Righteousness, of course, is believing the word of God. You're accounted righteous through your faith, right? And lying to the people of God can get you killed, as we just saw. Okay. 1 John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Okay, you know, the people that faction, they don't want fellowship. They want to separate their wicked bunch from the righteous. And that's God's plan, which he said that he was going to send forth the angels and separate from among the righteous the tares, and gather them in bundles to burn them. Now the burning is coming. Okay? It's been happening. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Therefore, you're justified through your faith. If you confess your sins, which is the next verse, if we say that we have no sin, which these people do that, they say they have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So those people who point their finger at everybody but themselves, even though they are guilty of sin, they're going to be judged. Just as the dreams and visions and words that we have received out of the Word say clearly, and all the types and shadows say clearly, you know, that this is going to happen. So, God's about to restore the fear of God to a people who have lost a conscience completely and a fear of God. And she went on to say, as it was turned, Duran picked up, that is the snake was turned back to him, right? Duran picked up a small vaccine. Oh my goodness, what's he doing? And thrust the shiny metal needle into the snake's neck at the back. And she put in parentheses what I believe is the vaccine for the plague is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Like the book by David Eales, God's vaccine. Even one small which is the vaccine was a small one. One small word in faith will kill the enemy. Ephesians 6 and 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. A word from God will destroy any disease, any spirit of infirmity. And the snake turned around and wailed, saying, "This will be the death of me." I was so glad Duran was there. I said, "Do you think it'll be enough to kill him?" And he said, "Yep. But he's going to suffer first." Well, this is kind of like a dream we had about the faction dying of this disease. They were suffering first. I believe that this plague will cause suffering and hopefully give people time to repent before they die. Because some people will die. And there's nothing you can do to save them. Because God has told us he's going to use this to drain the swamp. There's only one thing anybody can do, and that is repent and believe. And when a person is filled with demons, they can do neither. And only God has absolute control over that. He can deliver those who are his. We praise God for that. In fact, we've been praying for that diligently over the years, that God will deliver his elect out of the mouth of this dragon. The saints, or sanctified ones, are going to be preserved. Please prepare yourselves and your friends and your family for this plague. You know, we don't make any money on these books, but you can learn from this book very well, God's Vaccine. It's an e-book on our site. We also have it in audio form on our site. And it's all about how to be protected, how to be in the place where God will cause the death angel to pass over you and strike the Egyptians. And also, you can order it in print. I'll put the link here so you can do that if you want to order it in print. So, after this plague and the destruction of the deep state, spiritual and physical prosperity will come to the bride. She went on to say, which was after this plague, the dream setting then changed. And Rion and I were driving my aunt and her husband to our house, which I thought was in Roseberry. We were pointing out the really dodgy houses as we drove by and said, "These houses are all so forlorn and small." And she said, "I think this shows the poverty of the gospel that is being preached in other houses of faith," quote unquote. And I might add how this will not prosper apostate Christianity. I mean, this prosperity will not reach unto many because they preach a lying gospel or believe a lying gospel. And also, our town in the natural is in a place called the Wilderness Wilds. And she says, the bride's house is prepared in the wilderness. Yes. You know, in the midst of the larger body of the church, or woman, is a bride. Now, I know that the apostates all call the woman the bride, the whole church the bride. Nothing could be further from the truth. One read of the scriptures and you see that that's not true. And but the bride is being called out of the apostate woman. Okay. And that's for the purpose of turning and bringing the gospel to the woman. Have you ever read Song of Solomon? You find out that's exactly what happens to the Shunammite, the perfect one. She is called out. They persecute her. She goes back to bring the good news to her mother. Yes, and that's the plan of God in these days, you know. But Revelation 12 and 6 says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. Now let me say something about this nourishment. I've always pointed out that it is the man-child, because Jesus went into the desert. In some places, desert is the same word for wilderness. He went into the desert to teach the people. He couldn't do it real good underneath the Pharisees' nose. They would have, you know, disrupted and made the people fear and all that. So he went out in the wilderness to teach them. But he also, in that wilderness, he was raising up his disciples to come to the place to do the exact same thing that he was doing. That they too, in the wilderness, are going to nourish the people of God. Amen. And as we have said before, when Jesus started his ministry, his 3.5-year part of his ministry, when he started that, you know, he went forth to teach and to raise up disciples in his image so they could go forth and do the same thing. And so it's the same thing is going to happen today. Things that have been are the things that shall be. She went on to say, my aunt and uncle were shocked that we lived here in this dreary place and did not want to believe that there could be a beautiful part of this town. Yes, you know, the world is going to become a wilderness. And it will be proven. Okay. It's going to become a wilderness. But in the midst of this, there is a bride. And the bride is in the midst of the woman, just like those early disciples were in the midst of God's Old Testament church, right? That's all a type and a shadow, okay? So Jesus raised up these disciples in this Old Testament church to be a witness to them, and they were. They went out to feed the woman in the wilderness, as a type and a shadow of what's going to happen today. Nobody's going to jump over the wilderness. We're going through the wilderness, just as the Israelites did. The things that have been are the things that shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. There was no rapture before the wilderness. It's not going to happen. If you want to call the man-child's catching up to the throne a rapture, but that's a very small part of the church. Okay, if you want to call it that. The beautiful place in the wilderness of our own provision is the place of God's provision, as it was for the Israelites, where manna came down out of the sky and water out of the rock, and etc., etc., quail from the wilderness, etc. All these things God did supernaturally to provide for his people. Right. And Moses was there to speak the word and to bring it to pass, right? He was God's biggest provision in the wilderness, and he represents the man-child company. When you got all these things coming and you haven't experienced these things in the wilderness for yourself, don't go to preachers who have never lived in the wilderness. They don't know how to make it through. They've never been there. Go to Moses. Go to the man-child. They've experienced this wilderness for themselves. They've lived there. They've seen miracles. They've seen signs and wonders, I'm telling you. So they can tell you how to do it. Don't go to these people who don't know. Go to the ones that do know. Then she said, we came up to our house. It looked like a mansion. Well, we have this spiritual house that we live in. It's our life, right? That the Lord is providing in a wonderful and powerful way. There's no tribulations to people who've already been through the tribulation. You remember Moses already went through the wilderness to get to the mountain of God. He was caught up to the throne of God. He came back for the people of God. And when he came back, he brought them into that wilderness. Whose trial was it in the wilderness? His or theirs? He had already been through his. He was now leading them there. Yeah. And your mansion is somewhat like the body of Christ. It's the body of the great one who lives inside of you through the Word and through the Spirit. The man-child is going to be a demonstration of this great one who lives in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And the disciples who follow also are going to be able to give this demonstration through the rest of the tribulation to people so that they know there is a place of favor from God. Okay. It looked like a mansion on a plantation in the southern parts of the USA. It was gorgeous. Everything was white and new and freshly painted and just perfect. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Well, okay. The bride will stand out in the crowd as a sign to others of God's favor on those who believe and live the true gospel. You'll find multitudes of Christians that do not believe the Word of God. And when you get to something that they don't agree with, they say, "We don't believe that." You say, "Well, but this is the Word of God." Well, they don't believe it because their religion doesn't teach it, and they're in idolatry with their religion and with their preachers. That's why they don't believe it. And she went on to say, "I actually couldn't believe that Rion and I were living there." Yeah, in this great mention, right? John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." We walked into this one-story house as I heard a car pull up, and it was another friend, also called Sue. Sue is a derivative of a Hebrew name meaning lily or rose. And when I went back into the house, it had gotten even bigger. So this house is growing. So this house is you. It's your life, right? It's growing. And it's all beautiful on the inside, right? It had gotten even bigger. And we now had a west wing, an east wing situation with at least two levels. Yeah, well, that's the way sanctification is. It goes from the first level, which is your spirit. You receive a born-again spirit. And then you go to the second level to sanctify it, and that's called your soul. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And if you've been faithful to do that, you get the third level, which is that born-again body that looks like his body. First John said, right? And the bride will greatly mature at the time of the man-child ministry mentioned, well, right here. We're going to get to it right now. I walked through the whole house, showing Sue around, and it was even more beautiful than the previous home. There were pictures of a little Arabic Middle Eastern boy in the bedrooms and at the front entrance to the house. I thought, this little guy must belong to the owner of the house. Yeah. Yes, he is the man-child born of the Father, right? Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. Ah, okay. And they are to come into his image 30, 60, and 100-fold, correct? That's exactly what he says. He was precious to look at, and the photo frames were gilded gold, representing in the revealing of the man-child, she says. I agree with that. Or maybe I wrote that. I can't remember now. The revealing of the man-child. Awesome. And he's very valuable. It's golden. He's gilded in gold. He'll be a very valuable person in the midst of the tribulation, because the anointing of God is going to be there to lead us through this tribulation. We were sitting in one of the lounges, and we all had our Bibles open, resting in the Word, she says in parentheses. Yes. I was retelling the story of how I prepared food in the kitchens. I said, yes. I said, kitchens. Plural. Who knew I'd ever live in a house with two kitchens? And the two Sues, Bruce and Rion, laughed. The kitchens were beautiful, spacious, and had loads of space for food preparation, as well as long, large tables where many could eat together. Amen. Well, the man-child's training of the bride is to go forth with the prepared food of God's word to his people, as it was in Jesus' day. As John said of Jesus, as he was leading his first fruits disciples, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And who were they in the midst of? Yes, that's right, God's people by the first covenant. Which is a type of and a shadow of the new covenant and what is going to happen in our day, right? There was an industrial-sized food processor on the bench of the first kitchen and an industrial-sized washer hose in the second kitchen. This represents the bride feeding the newly called out ones the word. Can you imagine now the church being what it is today, going into a wilderness? You know, where they've always depended on the works of man and the power of man. They basically went back to Egypt and trusted in the captivity of the old man. They liked it by the flesh pots. They liked serving the old man. But God said through Moses that we can't serve God in Egypt. We have to go into the wilderness to serve God. And so it will be. And then the scene changed again, and I was walking down a narrow bush path, and I saw one of my neighbors out to the left of the path, and her name, Sophia, means wisdom in Greek. But in this dream, she seemed to lack wisdom. Indeed, she is of the world, and as yet unregenerate. So any wisdom will be folly, as Solomon has written. Yeah, Ecclesiastes 2, 12 through 14 says, and I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been done long ago? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly. Are we after the king? Yes, we came after the king. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, and the fool walketh in darkness. And yet I perceived that one event happeneth to them all. The fool. Now God calls people fools, because he knows a fool when he sees one. Right. And those who walk in darkness, we're going to share with you another revelation here in just a moment, those who walk in darkness are fools. There's a man in the next revelation who is walking in darkness, and he is a fool. And the Bible says, by the way, that a slanderer is a fool. And God said that he will destroy the slanderer. So if you speak things out of line with God's word, accusations without two or three witnesses or even one witness, you're going to be held accountable, because God's going to destroy the fool that walks in darkness. And yet I perceive that one event happeneth to them all. Mm-hmm. Well, she went on to say, she explained that her mother had just died and that she was pregnant with her third child, and she was unsure about who'd help her through the first few days of the baby's new life. This is her fruit, right? She was having a little girl. Let me say, the church has not brought forth any leaders. These are coming from the bride, who, like Esther, will bring salvation to the church. Okay. I offered her to come back to the house where everyone was, but she said no. So I offered to pray for her, and she did not want that either. Have you ever gone to denominational people and seen their struggles and their problems and asked them, do you want me to pray for you? And had them say no. I have. Everybody has. Yeah. They just don't think anything good can come from anybody that didn't belong to their denomination. It was just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Zelotes and all these people. They were of that kind of opinion. It's a faction. That's what they do. I then saw her mother in a vision in front of me on a hospital bed, dead in the physical, but alive in the spirit. And she said, I wish I could go back and choose better. Don't you try to tell them. You know, there's a better choice. You can believe what this book says, and you don't have to die of cancer. You don't have to die of this sin. You don't have to have this plague upon you. You don't have to, you see. I could not say or do anything. The vision disappeared, and I woke up. There are some people you will not be able to help. You know, when the bride, as an example of God's ability to sanctify and perfect, appears, many will wish they had chosen the biblical path. I asked the Lord for a verse for this dream and received by faith John 6:51 on live forever. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, that's the bread of the word, right? Because Jesus was the word. He shall live forever. If you eat the word, if you assimilate the word, if it goes into your bodies and to all of your cells and you become the living word, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you will live forever. Yea, and the bread which I give is my flesh for the life of the world. Well, that was right before John 6:66 when these disciples decided this is too heavy for us. Let's go. They left. A whole bunch of disciples left. But the disciples of the Lord didn't. Yes, he was the Word made flesh, and we are to be the Word made flesh. And she said this verse relates to all three dreams. The bread must be eaten to defeat the enemy. Those who eat it rest on the promises of the Word by faith, will have a beautiful place prepared for them in the wilderness. And those who do not eat the Word will face eternal separation. Okay, let's go back to the plague that was mentioned here. Here's an email to the president I wrote. And by the way, I had a vision. I asked the Lord, was I getting through to him? Because obviously you don't have to get any emails. And in the vision, I was in a line of people to see the president. And I looked over to the side and there was a door cracked. And I rushed over there and spread open the door and went through. And I was in the presence of the president talking to him. That was a vision I received early one morning. It was an answer. So I know they're getting through to him. In this email, I said, prepare for a second plague, not like the first. I told you that COVID-19 did not fulfill all that the Lord told us 3 years ago that he would do with the plague to bring down the factions and the apostates, and that I expected more plague. And then we received this. I sent this dream to him. You have to abbreviate things a lot because they don't let you put a lot there. They don't want a big, long letter, you know. On July 6, 2020, William Steenland had this dream. In this dream, the Lord allowed me to follow these Satanists into a very rich, high-rise private apartment condo in New York. I want to say that the Satanists are in both deep state camps. They're in the world camp, and they're in the not-so-Christian camp, right? They're Satanists. They bow to Satan. They use demons. They send out witchcraft attacks upon God's people. They are full of demons. Okay. So, with that, I go on. I knew that they had infiltrated the CDC and the WHO, World Health Organizations, and were executing a plan for their satanic New World Order. The dream changed, and I was still in the same condo at a small medical facility where people were dropping like flies from some unknown pathogen or contagion. There were three women and two men who were so sick that they were unable to function. I tried to grab the one woman closest to me while she was falling. In the dream, I knew that the elite were experimenting with the next plandemic. I said, ma'am, what's wrong with get up? And again, but she was dead. And I went over to the nurse who was in the back room. I could tell she knew something and was divided about it. She was very sad on her knees. I knew it was partially because she was totally helpless to assist or to medicate the sick that were there. And I picked her up off the floor, off the ground, and somewhat screamed at her, "What is happening to these people?" She told me, "Don't ask me that question." So she obviously knew, and she had some kind of a part in it, but was very grieved about it. As she cried in fear and sadness, I yelled again for her to tell me everything you know. What's happening to these people? She again told me not to ask that question. She knew they were victims of a trial run for the next plandemic, or pandemic, it is written here. In the dream, I just knew it. That is the info that kept coming to me in the dream. Next plandemic and trial run experiment. So that kept coming to him during this, okay? And I sent that to the president. And then I sent him another one later. This was May the 25th, 2020. Mr. President, remember about 2.7 years ago, well, now it's over 3 years, right? About 2.7 years ago, I told you that God told us that the deep state would create a plague and spray it over the United States and everywhere by chemtrails and elsewhere by chemtrails. And that has now been proven to be true. Yes, I have an article on the site. Oh no, I have it in my notebook. That when the Trump administration invaded Area 51, they found COVID-19 in the chemtrail fluid. Yep. They said it must have been an accident because they didn't want to get it out at that time, but that's what they called it at that time, an accident. No, it wasn't an accident. I told him that 2.7 years before I sent him this. Okay. At that time, we were also told that they would burn the churches and that too has begun. And they are planning to do a lot more burning using their undeclared terrorists. Of course, this was back in May, right? Undeclared terrorists, which was right? Undeclared terrorists in the United States and possibly DEW weapons. And that's been proven true again. And note, also came true pictures of the DEW-directed energy beams burning buildings in the West have been posted, and they are using them to try to set off the New Madrid seismic zone now. That was a note I put in there afterwards. And as we have shown, the man-child ministry starts with great earthquakes. Mm-hmm. So it will be a great catastrophe, and of course, many will die. I told this to the president, by the way. This was part I told him that many will die, and after that, you will destroy them. I suggest you at least lock up as many of the top leaders as possible quickly. And of course, that's happening now. It is happening now. Good job on the underground cities and tunnels and the children. U.S. and its economy will heal because of the great infusion of money, but it will be like the Red Sea for the deep state. All of them that escape will be back in the coming 7-year tribulation, in the middle of which these communists will make war on the Christians and kill many. By God's grace, we have a good record of being right on these things. Also, their vaccines and food changes the DNA of a person to make them a docile servant of the elite deep state. Already they have dumbed down the United States with their chemtrails. God be with you as he has, your servant in Christ, David. Well, that was in May the 25th, and this is May the 26th. Mr. President, Gates is a demon-possessed criminal. I didn't write this below, but it's pretty close. Vaccines change your DNA, and you become a hybrid slave. Please turn away from them. And I gave him some articles. Okay, the new plague will not accomplish the Antichrist's plans, but the Lord's plans in order to drain the swamp for Father's Church. This is a prophecy given to Ken Dewey on 5/27/20. He called it, "I will ram it down your throat." This very morning I heard this. Globalist and New World Order, and he has in brackets Antichrist spirit, in America, I will ram Donald Trump down your throat. He is my man of this hour, and you will never prevail over him. Did I not say, says the Lord, it is not time for the Antichrist to come now? Yes, we said the exact same thing, you know, when God stopped Obama from invading the country with Antichrist spirits. Yes. And I put a note here, Father has delayed the spirit of Antichrist premature presumption to destroy the church for a time. For Jacob is small, how shall he stand? Remember the delay that God gave there? Yes, that's right. Did I not tell you more than once, America, that I am not through with all my plans in this land? Did I not say I will arise like a mighty farmer and plow under evil into the very soil of America? Did I not say I would arise and walk over this land? But now the Antichrist wants to insert his power. Now he wants to even tell me what to do. I am that I am, and he will never dictate to me his plans, but I will dictate to him. I did cast him out of my heavenly presence once, and I will cast him even further yet. Well, if you see Revelation 12, 7 through 10, you see that. That was Satan. Notice he speaks of Satan in his many-membered, seven-headed, ten-horned body. Let me say, the Antichrist, as we've taught and we've proven from Scripture, is the whole body. It's that body inhabited by Satan and his demons. That's Antichrist. And the Scripture even says they went out from among us. There's an Antichrist that went out from among the early church, and there's an Antichrist coming out from among the church today. And they want to subject God's people and give them the mark of the beast, the spiritual mark of the beast. So he goes on, but just know that the spirit of the Antichrist will not have his way, nor will he destroy my body, my church. That was in parentheses, my church. For even the gates of hell will never prevail over my people, the church. That's true. Did I not say that nothing can take you from my hands? Did you not hear me when I said to you, my body, the church of called out ones in the earth, in brackets, right? That nothing can separate you from my love. Well, notice this promise is to the church, meaning the called out ones. In the early church, who did the called out ones come out of? The denominations of apostate people of God. They were called the church, not the denominations. So it's not what the worldly call the church. Jesus called his early church out of the apostate denominations. And he's doing the same thing today. You follow them, they destroy the word of God, so you've got no defense, you've got no sword to defend yourself against the curses and against the people of this world. And of course, these people that did that to them, they were destroyed by the Romans. The beast came and destroyed them. That's exactly what we're saying now. Exactly what we're saying. That this beast is going to destroy these apostates. Repent, come out from among them, and believe the word of God. And then he said, read it here, Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness? And of course, this is all levels of Christianity from top to bottom, right? All the people that are God's people, even though some at the bottom are very ignorant and very small in stature, they're still God's people. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. No, nothing, he says. No devil walking like an Antichrist spirit, nor any evil force can ever take my people away, nor hurt them. No, the church, meaning the called out ones, will never ever perish. For have I not bought them with my own blood and washed them whiter than snow? Have I not said, I hold you in the hollow of my hand? He wants you to believe the promises and actually become what he's talking about here, right? Isaiah 49 and 16, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers and they that made thee waste, which we know about them, shall go forth of thee. I am that I am. At this time, the destroyer cannot come upon you. At this time, he who walks in darkness will not prevail. Yes, and I've been trying to tell them that, but they don't listen. At this hour, the one who exalts himself will fall down, and all his plans shall not accomplish his will, for he cannot come now. I am that I am. I change not, nor do I repent. For what I have declared, I will do. I will not change my mind. I have yet many plans to go forth into action in this particular nation of America. I will send a mighty awakening. Well, it is happening. I mean, in the political realm, it's happening. Revelations of the evil done by the spirit of Antichrist are flooding the internet. People are getting wakened up. They were pledging allegiance to this thing, right? Even in the midst of all the enemy is trying to accomplish, and I will tread him down. Well, it is happening, and they are being hunted down by this administration and all over the world. And my people will arise from his dreaded plans. Amen. I am that I am. Am I not more than able to accomplish all my plans? And even those who are mine in this land are more than able in my blessings and power given unto them to arise and walk in victory over all. Yes, remember that, saints. This is so true. So true. No virus will accomplish your plans, you evil one, for I will stop you short. You will never take away my people, that's the called out ones, not necessarily the Christians, but the church, the called out ones. You will never take away my people, nor will you stop me, for I have forever written my plans, even in my book, and you have seen it. Yeah, the story of Cyrus conquering Babylon is one of them, right? I will never fail, but I will do it all exactly as is written. The plans of the Antichrist will backfire and turn upon their own heads, and they will fall in their own fire. Yes, I've been trying to tell them that. I am, and I have said it. Yeshua, Jesus, said, add the scriptures, the scripture promises. Psalm 91. Okay, I'm going to read this to you. Psalm 91. And this is King James Version. I've copied everything he wrote on this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Notice how many times he says he will deliver you from the plague and from the pestilence, right? 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. There it is again. For he shall give thee his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up on their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Yes, take that with you into the wilderness, right? And he went on to say, in tears of joy I hear this and write it, even as I heard it here on this page. I have written it down even as it came forth. And this is his word for this hour. America, be comforted and be encouraged, for your God arises to protect you. Well, America and apostate Christianity is being chastened, and not a few will die, but the called out ones will be protected, for they are the seed of the coming revival. And some are dying in spirit at the hands of the factious witchcraft demons, through slander. When the man-child is manifested, the faction will be destroyed in the deep state judgments, just as David was anointed and destroyed Edom, who hated their brother. Amen. Okay, now I'm going to another revelation here, given to Claire Pinar, 10:10:20, and we called it, Beware of the Wicked Deceivers. I dreamed a sister, and I, from already looking at the rest of this, I believe the sister represents those who have a relationship with God but are in danger, as the people of God were from Haman, but Esther, the bride, interceded for them. Amen. So I dreamed a sister and I were working together at Rion's workplace. He works in a mine. We were on the top floor where the managers were. She was asking me things about David's teachings, and I was showing her scripture on my phone to help her understand. Our workplace is in the kingdom, the same place where David and Michael work. Okay, that's interesting. You know, we work in a mine, too. We're mining gold and silver. Feeding it to the people of God who are becoming gold and silver. Then I went to shower in the change room. Part of our job is to keep clean and always be washing with the water of the Word, renewing our minds in Christ. Amen. I realized my name was being called over the intercom, and I went to the designated room, again on the second floor, which was the top floor, and I saw this sister standing there with the health and safety officer. He was a tall man with a mustache and had black pants on, with a gray and black golf shirt on. I believe this is talking about walking in darkness with a dark heart. That had a thin red line running through it. The colors of his clothing represent that he is submitted to death and destruction, she says in parenthesis, right? In the dream, he is fictitious, in that I have never laid eyes on someone who looks like this in the natural. Well, he represents a factious spirit. They were talking about someone who they wanted to put through disciplinary action, like their God or something, right? And take out, unquote, quote unquote. And then mentioned Michael is complicit. Well, this is their evil opinion, as faction does. They they blame others for their own sins, just like the leftists in the government are doing. Everything they've blamed on Trump, they are guilty of, and they're not even embarrassed. And it's the same with the faction in the church, exactly the same. The Lord told us there was a parallel between what's happening with Trump and what's happening with the man-child. I said, who are you talking about? They spoke on like they never heard me, or that they expected me to know and have the same opinion as them. Yeah, they expect you to believe them. They can't give any proof, of course, but their expectation is that you believe them because of who they are. Then the sister said, I don't care if he's the mine manager, mining the silver and the gold of God's people, right? What he's doing is wrong. So this sister had obviously been converted by this person, right? The mustache guy said, he's underground now, but when he comes up, we'll start the process. Yeah, it sounds very confident, like I remember the first faction was. They thought they were going to overthrow me. It just said, it told everybody, well, it has to happen. It just has to happen. But everybody was against them. And then it dawned on me that they were talking about David Eales. And she puts in parenthesis, underground, the anointing of the man-child is not yet revealed, but is in secret for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. Okay, and of course, I say that the Lord uses me because of my name, David. And David is a type of the man-child who destroyed the Edomites, who were just the same way. I said, you can't be serious. David's not done anything wrong. If you harm God's elect, great harm will come to you, unquote. I turned to the mustached man in darkness and said, I want no part in this. I am not part of this at all, unquote. The sister shook her head and said, he is false and must be removed. Well, they do say things like that, but they can't give any proof out publicly because they hide it all behind closed doors, because when they give it out publicly, there are people that are going to call them liars, especially the real witnesses. So she listened to slander and accepted the faction witchcraft spirits. I said to her, you will lose your salvation if you carry this out. And that's because Jesus said, those who do not forgive are not forgiven. That's the very foundation of your salvation. And they always accuse you of what they have done. This is a way of deflecting. Like if a man gets caught in fornication and adultery, you know, and then he blames you for it. Yeah. I walked out the door, down the stairs, and I told Rion, we tried to find Michael or David, and they were not in their offices, either out in the field / mine or at home for the day. The scene changed, and I was walking next to a natural hot spring, and I saw the sister swimming with her daughter, smiling and happy. And I thought, quote, she just wanted to a feel-good gospel that accepts all actions, unquote. She got out of the pool and she seemed to forget what she said, what she had done. She had a huge white Jeep there and was clothed as a wealthy, worldly woman. She held up two green-colored cream soda-flavored milkshakes and offered me one, and I turned it down. I was reminded when I read this part of Cinderella and the poison apple, which the witchy queen had offered to her, right, to destroy her. But she said, represents an evil drink, tastes terrible, and the very flavor is man-made. That's true. In my dream, I had love for her as one loves the sister slash brothers in Christ. But I was aware of the word Judas the whole time, and I was bitterly disappointed that anyone would try to hinder David's humble pursuit of doing what God has called him to do. Well, it's because the devil hates what we do. He hates what we do. He does not want the word going forth. He does not want prayer. He does not want dreams. He tries to kill the people with the dreams. Yes, he does. He's tried to kill me several times, but he can't do it. I've not finished doing what God has called me to do, and them too. I'll tell you the whole story one day. It's fantastic, fantastic. After being factious, this woman had gone back to the world. I was so sad. She appeared to love the Lord and respected and loved UBM's teachings, just like all of the faction. But when they got to a place where they weren't going to obey the teachings that they got, they were held responsible. And this came in a judgment of reprobation. I received Ezekiel 30 and 20 by faith at random, in context 20 through 24. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first month, in the seventh day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Well, the deep state weapons will be effective against the old man who kept the spiritual man in bondage, right? Egypt represents the old man who kept the new man, the spiritual man, in bondage. And when they went to the baptism in the Red Sea, the old man went down and he didn't come up, right? He drowned. And the new man came up on the other side, just like our baptism, and Paul called it a baptism. So there's the people of the world and the wicked who are against God's people who are going to go down. Because as you know, the plague passed through Egypt, and it jumped right over the Israelites because of the blood on the doorposts, and it killed the Egyptians. And lo, it hath not been bound up to apply healing medicines, to put a bandage to bind it, that it be strong to hold the sword. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and I will break his arms, the strong arm, and that which was broken, I will cause the sword to fall out of his hand, and I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and will disperse them through the countries. And I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon. Well, here you have now. We're calling Babylon the great eagle, the deep state, who is going to come against what? Those Christians who rest in the arm of the flesh and those people who are the people of the flesh. He's going to come against them. He'll have authority there, but not among the sanctified, as we've just seen. I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon and put my sword in his hand, but I will break the arms of Pharaoh, and he shall groan before him with the groanings of a deadly wounded man. Yes. And the deadly wounded also are spoken of. And it appears to be the apostate leaders of God's people. Mark 11, 17 and 18 says this. And she said, My finger covered both of these verses when I asked God for a word by faith at random. And he taught, and he said unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations? But you have made it a den of robbers. Yes, that's exactly right. The truth is still there today. It's a den of robbers. The apostates, the factious, which are in which denominations are factions, by the way, and the faction that's come up, movement which has come up lately, you know, to crucify the man, child, and the bride, basically. Den of robbers, that's what they are. And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and sought how they might destroy him. Yes, and they've tried. For they feared him, for all the multitude was astonished at his teaching. Yes. You know, Jesus said they hated him. And he said if they hated him, they would hate us too. Why is that so? It's so because when Jesus starts living through you, which is what maturity is, 30, 60, and 100 fold, they hate that. They hate that. Remember that these chief priests and scribes and the Pharisees, you know, were the leaders of their religion. They really believed what they believed. They, you know, loaded men down with heavy burdens, which they didn't, you know, handle in the slightest, according to Jesus, you know. They just wanted to burden people down. And they plundered them. They were a den of robbers. And they hated Jesus because he was doing none of those things. He was serving, and he was feeding, and he was blessing, and he was multiplying, and he was healing, none of which the factious apostates were doing. And they hated him. And they will hate us if we look anything like him. But remember, in 70 AD, the beast of that time, the Roman beast, came for them as the beast destroyed the harlot. Yep, remember Jesus prophesying that this was going to happen. It was going to come. Nowhere did he ever pray for it not to come. It had to come. These people were guilty of the blood of the saints, just as they are today. Guilty of the blood of the saints. And this is, of course, a warning, you know, a warning to the people of God not to disobey his word. Keep it foremost in your mind. It will protect you from the wicked. Always obey it. It will protect you from the wicked. If you disobey it, you're on your own. Because the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if you get out from under the blood, he may devour you. Just as it happened to the sister in this revelation, who is a representation of other people who have been disobedient to the Lord. And Father, you are so awesome. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for all you're doing. Lord, I remember in a text, by the way, which we just got, Jehoshaphat getting the advice of the Lord and sending forth the praisers, praising God for the victory over the faction that was coming against them. In this case, the hunters became the hunted. The type and shadow is being fulfilled in the natural. It always does before it's fulfilled in the spiritual, but it will be fulfilled. So they became the hunted. And what did the people of God do? They went out there praising God, thanking God, joying in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord set liars in wait against the enemy, who in turn destroyed each other and left the people alone to gather the spoils. Oh, praise be to God. The hunters became the hunted. And this is what the Lord has promised in the prophecy and in this right? This is what he has promised, and that's exactly what he's going to do. You know, I remember Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I never completely understood that until I ran into the faction. And I realized they don't know what they're doing. They really are self-righteous about it. They really believe they're in the right. They don't discuss Scripture. They won't discuss Scripture with you. They don't want to get around people that discuss the Scriptures or believe the Scriptures. They would rather insult them and walk away, much like we see the left wing doing, sending out slanders and insults against Trump, but they don't want to debate with him. It doesn't work very good to debate with him. You know, the hunters are becoming the hunted. And with Pharaoh, after the judgments hit him a few times, the fear of the Lord came on him, and he decided to turn the people of God free. And his advisors told him, "Don't you know Egypt is destroyed?" Well, I don't know if you noticed, the mainstream media out there is pretty much destroyed. I mean, they've dwindled to nothing. The football people, they've pretty much destroyed because of their opinions, false opinions about Antichrist people. The leftists and their cities are pretty much destroyed. Have you noticed? I look at the families of the factious who at one time prospered and were happy, and the children were joyful, and so on. They're pretty much destroyed. It's a mess. So Pharaoh came to the fear of the Lord, especially with the last judgment, taking out the firstborn. But after he realized that they just plundered him, you know, all the Egyptians were giving them their gold and silver because they had the fear of God. They were given to the spiritual man the gold and silver, putting it in their hands, and they were leaving with it. And I just know Pharaoh had a problem with that. Yeah, he didn't want that to happen. Is that anything like him trying so desperately to stop the GCR today? Yeah. So, anyway, he changed his mind, decided the greed in his mind and the avarice against the people of God in his mind caused him to go and chase after them. And as I said, you know, Moses on the first bank was used of God to part the waves. Pretty neat trick, don't you know? They were parted. It wasn't like the downstream kept on going downstream. It was parted. I mean, there was a great wind that came, but it wasn't a natural wind. It was a supernatural wind that parted and even dried the ground at the Red Sea. Supernatural. Now, the fact is, they had the stupid spirits on them. Nobody in their right mind would follow God's people into this thing that God opened to save them with. Nobody. Now, of course, I know the faction can't recognize God. They don't know the God of the universe anymore. Their God is a bunch of demons that they follow. And but they've decided to chase after God's people. It's very foolish because God has spared and saved his people. and his parting of the Red Sea is coming right now. And then Moses, of course, on the other side, you know, waved his rod and by the grace of God, loosed the Red Sea to come back into its place. Okay. What everybody calls the Red Sea, I'm not trying to get into that issue. So the hunters became the hunted. And now God's people could go into the wilderness without being chased by the factious, those who thought they were better than God's people, those who thought they could judge and rule over God's people. Amen. And so now, this was a great blessing to God's people because now they didn't have these people ruling over them, dragging them back into Egypt to serve the old carnal man. You know, they didn't have this. They were free. And the Northern Army, of course, I believe the Northern Army in Joel 2 was probably the Assyrians. And, you know, they had marched through all of the lands of the people of the golden calves, the people who factioned away from the house of David with their golden calves, calling it the Lord. And so that army destroyed them, took them down. That faction took it down and came up to Jerusalem. And, of course, these were God's sanctified people who had come out from among them. These were the people that Israel was making war on, Judah and Jerusalem. They factioned against them and ever so often had wars against them. But God was there. They cried out to God with this approaching army, and God was there. And what did God say he would do for his saints who called out to him day and night? He would avenge them speedily. So, once again, the hunters become the hunted. How many times does this happen in Scripture? A bunch. There were times when God raised up the enemy to come against God's people so that God's people would whoop them. Now, when God raised up the enemy to come against God's people, and they weren't God's people because they were too much their own people, doing their own thing, it was a different story. But in Joel 2, which God has given us so many times, and the Jehoshaphat scenario, which he's given us so many times in our morning prayer meetings to exhort us that this is what's coming, you know, and Pharaoh and the Red Sea, he keeps calling it the Red Sea. The hunters are going to be the hunted. And as we've been showing you, dreams and visions, they don't believe any of that. They don't believe any of that. Nothing. There's nothing that can convince them of anything godly. I mean, that's demons. And that's why I say, you know, he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. They do not know what they're doing. They do not know. Their mind has been taken over. Their conscience is gone and so on and so forth. They don't know. So, Father, I say too, Father, forgive those that are your elect among them. You know, there were Judases and there were Peters, right? You know, Judas, of course, wasn't granted repentance. just like Esau, was not granted repentance, according to Paul in Hebrews. Neither one of them was granted repentance. And they were destroyed. But there is a people that are being humbled and are deceived and will be granted repentance. And we know this. We've received it. They will prove themselves not to be a part of that body because God forgives quickly and He sanctifies, especially when people are humbled by the things they've gone through. And they've been going through this for years now. It's brought them misery, destruction to their families. Heads of families who don't like the wives and don't like the children. You know, on down the line. Well, Father, we know Your plan is already written over and over. And we are told the things that have been are the things that shall be. And the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Well, Lord, we praise You and we thank You for the victory that You have given to us. You have spoken it to us many, many times, almost every morning. You give us exhortations by faith at random that tell us exactly the same thing. Yes, to be encouraged and to walk by faith and to don't make the mistake of living after the flesh. Don't make the mistake of not forgiving your brother of everything that you might think you have against them. According to Matthew 18, my Father will turn you over to the tormentors until you pay what was due, right? That's what Jesus said. And this is what's happened. Oh, Father, we thank You. We praise You for Your goodness to us, Your grace to us. We thank You. We praise You that Your will be done. And thank You, Father, for being with Your people, encouraging Your people, saving them, delivering them, bringing to their remembrance Scripture, you know, to save them from the wicked enemies out there. And we praise You and thank You for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Well, okay, saints, thank you for joining us today. God be with you. God bless you and keep you and, you know, prepare your families. Give them Psalm 91, like we said a while back. Give them Psalm 91 to read. Let them read that. Let them believe it, you know. Even though they may not be totally born again, they've seen whole platoons of soldiers spared, all of them spared, you know, from reading that. It's pretty interesting, that story. So, you pray for them and you believe for them to make it through because your prayers are upon them and you've prayed for them to be saved and delivered. And I'm agreeing with you. Amen. All right. God bless.